folks, it's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Last week, Mike and I talked about local control with Brilliant Woman.
It was a great show. Kim Haddow, local control, and how the Republicans in Arizona and other places have just taken it away, and it's insane.
Next week, we're going to be talking with major people in the arts in Sedona.
A bit of a switch next week,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll go back. But today, Mike, we're talking about what?
We're bloodthirsty today. We're going to talk about impeachment. We this is what we do here, folks. It's just to cover it one more. Democratic Perspective is a fact-based opinion show. This is what we do. We have all kinds of Steve Williamson, Mike Cosentino, Gary LeMaster, who's waiting on the phone. What we pride ourselves on, because the onslaught of Republican lies since the election of George Bush drove us crazy. So here we are with fact-based opinion. That's what we don't necessarily do journalism here, although we have done some when it came to when Yavapai College wanted to close Verde campus and the El Rojo Grande thing. That was some real journalism you got from Democratic Perspective. But in the meantime, we do fact-based opinion. When it comes to impeachment, and that's what we're talking about. Today we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about what the founding fathers felt. We're going to talk about the reasons for impeachment, and we're going to talk about what's coming up. So it's if your head's about to explode on impeachment, we're gonna take down the swelling a little bit here on Democratic Perspective.
The thing is, it's someone like Trump who has absolutely no morals and no sense thinks everybody is sort of like him. But no matter how much Mike and I didn't like a candidate or didn't like his politics, we wouldn't make up lies about him. We would never do that. If I was on a jury, vote to convict anyone who I wasn't absolutely convinced was guilty, whether I liked the person or not, whatever they were charged with. And there are millions and millions of people who have some sense of honor out there, who are not like Donald Trump and his minions, because at this point, I think Mike and I would agree that the adults in the room have left the administration, the people who were sort of resisting him. They were very conservative individuals, military men and so forth and so on. They're all out, and we now have people who will say and do anything to further his agenda. We have Gary LeMaster on the phone. And so what we're trying to do today is kind of break this down into 10-minute segments. And then 5 minutes of discussion. But what we asked Gary to do, and it's a difficult job, is to lay out what's been happening. Because as Gary was saying before the show when I was talking to him, Trump's done an awful lot of impeachable stuff. But we want to focus. What really happened now, I think, Mike, is that what do you do? See, Mike and I could sit and debate about whether we should go ahead with impeachment because it doesn't look like it would actually remove him from office. What will remove him from office is guaranteed his election if we win.
Right.
All right. But what happened is he's been caught red-handed.
He's confessed.
Basically, yes. And once you do that, once you've been caught red-handed, then we no longer have, you know, we're honor-bound to go ahead with impeachment, whether it's good politically for Democrats or not. It really doesn't matter whether it's good for us or not. He's been caught doing impeachable acts, Mike, and he needs to be impeached.
Exactly. He's committed the crime. Is what you're saying, and to turn away from that is like I'm turning away from a murder, turning away from a rape. Law enforcement, in this case, law enforcement is the House of Representatives. That's what they do. Is you can't turn away from a crime of this magnitude.
It would be deeply damaging to the United States not to prosecute impeachment when he's obviously committed impeachable offense. When you do that, you basically destroy law and order. And you destroy the ability of the honor of the state to do its business. So that's what's changed, really, is that we don't really have a choice, Mike. I mean, we're duty bound to support impeachment because he's obviously done impeachable offenses.
That's it. I mean, everybody, people like me were giving Nancy Pelosi all kinds of crap for the last couple of years, saying impeach him, do the job, or find somebody that can, for God's sakes. Now, and she waited, and she's been praised in certain circles for waiting because is there. But there is no choice, as we're saying. She has to go forward. Adam Schiff has to go. Nancy Pelosi. These are the players. Now, Trump has said he will bring it all down. And I'm going to ask that question at the end of the show.
Good.
But will he bring it all down to avoid this?
That's a question. Yeah, let's let that for the end of the show, Mike. And that's a very important point. It's a very important point. It was how destructive the arguments and the activities of Donald Trump and his supporters are going to be to the country in order to get out of this. Because look, he's caught red-handed, folks. You know, if you read this transcript, you have any knowledge of the world, you know exactly what happened. And it's illegal. And it's un-American. And it's subversive. And it's just almost traitorous. All right. So, he's been caught doing that. So what will the defense look like, Mike? How much damage will it do? Anyway, let's get to Gary. Gary, lay out what's been happening, what the transcript, and it is a kind of mysterious transcript because it's 5 minutes long of a 30-minute phone call. So there's some skepticism. I think what happened is Trump managed to convince himself that somehow that exonerated him, and he released it before thinking it through. The other thing is apparently they were on to him. Usually, folks, the things that are happening a couple of weeks ahead of the public. And so we're a couple of weeks ahead of public. Trump knows that this information is coming down. He knows it's going to get exposed, so they tried to get out in the front with it. Okay, Gary, run us through what's been happening. And if you want to talk about Heather and Trump, impeachable offenses do, but I think we've got to really focus on what we have before us. Gary?
Okay, well, maybe the best place to start is to read Section 4 of Article 2 of the Constitution, which says, quote, the President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And they intentionally left it, the high crimes and misdemeanors, vague so that it could, cover a vast array of abuses of power, of which Trump has committed many. But I would argue that Lawrence Tribe has argued that Trump has already committed the very definition of treason by realizing that Russia attacked our elections, which is an attack on our country, and then aided and abetted Russia since then. And this, bribery is almost at the heart of what is happening with the Ukraine scandal. To kind of start with the Ukraine call, it really started, really came about when a whistleblower came forward and accused Trump of withholding military aid to Ukraine unless Ukraine opened an investigation into Joe Biden and his son Hunter for alleged corruption, something that has been, roundly disproven for many, many years. In fact, Biden was carrying out the wishes of international coalition to end an investigation and get rid of a corrupt official in Ukraine.
And to add to that, Gary, Joe Biden has been in public life for 50 years, and he's one of the people in Congress who've never been confused of feathering his own nest, of making a profit from anything. He was for a long time the poorest member of the United States Senate. So it's those attacks on him as Krupp for economic reason, they picked the senator who's the cleanest in that area. Now, he's made a lot of mistakes, say, about his politics. But go on. But I wanted to make the point that Joe Biden is somebody, he's being charged with all this stuff, who's somebody who's had an honorable record in economic issues for his entire life in Congress and elsewhere.
It never seems to matter to the GOP. Look what they did to John Kerry, a war hero. By accusing him of taking undue credit. But anyway, so after we learned of the whistleblower, we found out that the administration tried to cover up the whistleblower complaint. Instead of sending the complaint to Congress as the law dictates, the DNI took it to William Barr and the Department of Justice, where they promptly buried the complaint, claiming executive privilege. And it was only because the House Intelligence Committee had knowledge of the complaint that it was brought forward. So you already have some interesting intrigue just from that point on. The whistleblower also noted that the transcripts for the Ukraine call and calls with other international leaders, including transcripts of calls with Putin, have been hidden on a special classified server for the first time in history. Then, under pressure from Congress, over this scandal, Trump provided a memo describing his phone conversation, which showed that he indeed asked for a favor from the Ukrainian president. He would give the military aid, which he had put a stop to a few days before the call, a few weeks before the call, and had refused to meet with the Ukrainian leader and refused to invite him to the White House. But anyway, he said that he would provide the military aid in his call, but then immediately asked for a favor, which was to ask that the Ukraine start an investigation into so-called corruption of the Bidens. When that eventually led to the Ukraine special envoy, Kurt Volker, testifying before the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, he provided, during that testimony, he provided text messages between he and the Trump political appointee, Sondberg, who was somehow involved, even though he was the ambassador to the EU. He provided text messages that showed the administration was demanding the Biden investigation as a condition for receiving the aid. So we already are past the whole issue of bribery, which is outlined in the Constitution.
And there's a second whistleblower now, Gary. What's that about? He supported the first whistleblower said?
Well, let me get to that in just a minute. I just want to go through the rest of the timeline first. On September 24th, Nancy Pelosi announced that the House was conducting a formal impeachment inquiry. Then on the 30th, it was reported that Barr had traveled to Rome to seek Italy's help in the investigation of the conspiracy theory that the Russia investigation into the 2016 election had been initiated to harm Trump's campaign. Then on October 1st of last week, it was reported that the transcript of a call between Trump and the Australian prime minister had been placed on the classified server. Again, they were apparently asking the Australians for help in the investigation. Then on October 3rd of last week, Trump publicly, in one of his chopper talks, publicly asked China to investigate the Bidens, implying that it would benefit the trade talks with China. So far, the scandal has revealed that Trump, Giuliani, Mike Pence, William Barr, Mike Pompeo, Rick Perry, Gordon Sondland were all apparently involved in the scandal. Of course, the GOP talking points of last week were that claiming that the whistleblower had no firsthand information of the Ukraine call, so it was all secondhand. And Trump then, in a leaked tape, it was found that he had called the whistleblower and those who gave him or her information spies and implied they should be executed. And on October 4th, late on Friday, it was announced that a second whistleblower was being represented by the same attorney or law firm as the first whistleblower, and that this whistleblower has firsthand information. Interestingly enough, the same day that came out, it was reported that Trump ordered substantial cuts to the staff of the National Security Council, which is, I think, incredibly alarming. Because it only benefits Russia and our enemies. Then also over the weekend, I'm nearing the end of this, but over the weekend it came out that a group of businessmen who were close to Trump and Giuliani had planned to take control of the Ukrainian gas company, the state-owned gas company. That plan was thwarted when Ukraine elected the new president, Zelensky. Also over the weekend, this is not directly related, but it's equally alarming, that it was announced that Trump had okayed Turkey to attack rebels in Syria, and including our Kurdish allies, the very fighters who took the lead for us against ISIS. So that's where we stand. It's engulfed a whole lot of administration officials. It appears that Rick Perry has announced his resignation, likely related to the
Trump said to Rick Perry make the phone call, Gary. Trump said that Rick Perry is the one who told him to make the phone call. The other thing I wanted you to address for just a second is there's two asks. One is to investigate Biden and his son. The second is to revive a preposterous theory that it wasn't Russia behind the election interference, but the Ukraine. It's a crazy theory, but that's the second ask, right, what they want from Zelensky and from Ukraine.
Yeah, that's a conspiracy theory that was started by Steve Bannon back when he was still in the White House, and it Breitbart has given it legs, and it's kind of infected, let's say, the entire Trump support system.
So we're in a
I'd like to add that. They've even the conspiracy theory is that the organization, the Internet Security Organization that looked into the hacks of DNC servers was in the Ukraine, and they left supposedly the server from Hillary's email server is in the Ukraine, according to the wildest part of the conspiracy theory.
Yeah, it's right. Preposterous. Let's let Mike. What's your take on all this? Gary has kind of laid out some of the facts.
Yeah, I get that. Thanks for the lead up. But the idea is that this is the most important thing of the 21st century, and we're talking about a century within 20 years that we've had. We have an ongoing war that started in 2003 that hasn't stopped yet. But let me say that again. We've had a war in the Middle East that started in 2003, it's 2019, hasn't stopped yet. And yet this is the most important thing of the 20, because the characteristics and behavior of the President of the United States is threatening to bring down the United States, something no one else could do in 240 years, that could only happen. this there's a wonderful article. We talked about fact-based opinion. If you have, it's a 44-minute read, and I in 2019, I don't think anybody reads for 44 minutes anymore. But it's called Unfit, written by a lawyer named George Conway in the Third in the Atlantic Monthly. It's called Unfit for Office. And he ends it by saying, just in the interest of time, he laid out a wonderful football analogy. The quarterback of the Washington Redskins on TV the other day got tackled. Everybody in the stands, everybody on TV could see his leg was pointing. Everybody didn't. Nobody knew what bones were broken. Nobody knew what had happened, but everybody knew something was wrong. And I don't care who you, if you were a coach on the sideline or if you were at home, if you're 10 years old at home watching, you knew it's the same thing in watching Trump. You may not know the articles of impeachment. You may not know his mental health, his bizarre behavior on a daily basis, but you know that something is wrong. The House of Representatives and the Senate of the United States knows something is wrong. The House is moving forward with impeachment inquiries. As Stephen pointed out, as Gary pointed out, the guy has there's evidence that he has fits the criteria for impeachment. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, would agree with impeachment today, as would all of the founding fathers. I want to make that clear. This isn't some Democratic thing that they're doing for political purposes. As Stephen said earlier, the Democrats must impeach because so many laws have been broken. If they don't impeach for political reasons, then they are worse than the GOP as far as that goes. And the things that James Madison was worried about was that the president would betray the trust to a foreign power. And they cited that in 1974 when they impeached Nixon, and they're using it again, as they should, in their impeachment inquiry with Donald Trump. I'm talking about James Madison, father of the Constitution, would agree with impeachment. I'm talking about what are the questions to be. There are so many questions that we don't know about. Here we are on our little radio station in Sedona, Arizona, and there are things going on. There are things on deep hidden in classified servers that even the powers that be don't know what's on those things. People have asked, and I've asked, is there a transcript of the entire phone call? Stephen says it's a 30-minute phone call. Trump released 5 minutes of it. That's crazy. Who would take that as any evidence? There are people that don't believe a transcript of a phone call exists anymore. I don't believe that. I think there is a 30-minute transcript somewhere. But as going back to the football analogy, we know something is wrong. The House of Representatives has, I'm quoting from the Atlantic article, the House of Representatives has embarked on an impeachment inquiry. One of the most important judgments it must make is whether any identified breaches of duty are likely to be repeated. Let's say that again. Are any identified breaches of duty, such as giving your trust to a foreign power, likely to be repeated? This is Donald Trump we're talking about. Of course they're going to be repeated. They'll probably be repeated 6 times before the end of the day. As, once again, Stephen pointed out, he called Australia, he called the Ukraine, he called Italy, he repeated these offenses over and over. It's not like this is one gotcha, like he called to Ukraine and said, hey, we're going to withhold your military funding, which, of course, benefits Putin and Russia, which he's been accused of being very close to, because they've been salivating over taking over the Ukraine. And without American aid, Russia walks in. This is one of the reasons this makes this such a big deal. This is, so here we are, we have a president that's committed impeachable offenses. The House of Representatives is moving forward, and all these legal nuances that you're going to have to put up with from both sides for the next X number of weeks. But you got to hang in there, folks, because this is an important thing. The bottom line is something is wrong. I hope, If a Senate trial comes to pass, the issue would become central as well as to discussion. That when Trump's, this is when, is during the Senate trial, is when Trump's behavior and psychological characteristics must come into play, says George Conway in The Atlantic. From the evidence, it appears that he simply can't stop himself from putting his own interests above the nation's. Any serious impeachment proceeding should consider not only the evidence and the substance of all impeachable offenses, but also the psychological factors that may be relevant to the motivations underlying those offenses. Congress should make the extensive use of experts, including lots of psychiatrists. Once we get to this area in any Trump investigation, this is when then he goes down. Any discussion of his mental state is he's going to come up a loser here.
We do have a psychiatrist talking to us, Mike, but none of them will go on air. Nobody can publicly go on air and do a real prescription to what's wrong with Donald Trump because they're not granted access to him. Everything that you're talking about points to his instability. His change in Syria comes from a single phone call. He doesn't seem to know that the United States doesn't hold any ISIS prisoners. They're all being held by our Kurdish allies. He's just systematically betrayed the Kurdish allies. I don't think we should even go there because, I mean, these are the best allies we had in the whole fight in Syria, and he's betraying them. That's kind of who he is. But I think one of the points that I think you should underline, Mike, is this has to go to trial. This has to go. The House has to do its job. The Senate has to do its job. And because he's been so obviously caught, the defenses of him are particularly destructive to the United States government and people.
That's right. And so when you say they have to go forward impeachment, then you have to decide. That's when all the questions come in. That's where all the infighting and the bickering starts, and this is when people lose patience very often. But what about is his request to the Ukraine impeachable? Well, yes, it is. We're talking about betraying, and he's, don't forget Trump's defenses. No. This is what presidents do. This is I was doing my job by making a deal. I was making a deal with Ukraine. That's what I do.
But it was a deal for him, Mike, not for the United States. He wasn't cutting a deal for the United States to benefit the United States or to benefit Ukraine. He was holding Ukraine hostage, withdrawing and not processing their request for weapons to defend themselves against the Russians for his own personal gain. One is the conspiracy theory, the crazy conspiracy theory about Ukraine in the 2016 election. The other is he just wanted dirt on the Bidens, and he picked, you know, Joe Biden, a guy who has, you know, is like the least likely Democrat to have done anything sneaky. Now, we're not saying that, you know, that there is corruption in the sense that Hunter Biden probably used his connection.
Will you get off the Biden thing?
No, let me finish. In Hunter Biden, and I know people are, this is going to be one of the issues. They're going to say Hunter Biden shouldn't have gotten that job. Well, that's really irrelevant to this controversy. That's just like how many of Trump's relatives, friends, and family have gotten position because they're related to Donald Trump. So there's that kind of corruption, but we're talking about a whole nother level of sacrificing United States interests for his personal political gain. And he doesn't even know that Biden is going to be his opponent. Go ahead, Gary.
I would argue that it goes beyond Trump's personal interest. What I truly fear is that he's operating in Russia's interest. Almost everything that he's done with regard to international and foreign policy has been for the benefit of Russia.
Oh, you mean the country that he owes millions and millions and millions of dollars to? You think he might favor the country that he owns millions and millions of dollars to? You think Trump would do something like that? Well, of course he would. The impeachment process, and we want to talk about this, we need to think of the House impeachment process as an indictment. The House impeaches the president. It's like a criminal indictment. There's enough evidence there to go forward with a trial. The Senate does the trial. According to our ex-senator, Jeff Flake, there are 35 senators that would vote for impeachment tomorrow if it was a private vote. Let me say that again. 35 Republican senators that would vote to remove Donald Trump from office if it was private. Not being private, and of course that makes them, what does it make them? It makes them cowards. It makes the Republican senators who wouldn't do a public vote for impeachment incredible cowards. It makes the whole Republican Party, where they will put political party before their country. Every time. They are so afraid of losing power. Trump knows he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail unless he brings down the USA. This is now, the question I wanted to
get. The thing about
to.
Mike is to remember, folks, and I know Mike knows this, is that impeachment is not a criminal case. There is no if Trump is impeached, he does not go to jail. He goes to jail if there's a criminal trial after his impeachment. That's when he goes to jail. Impeachment is not a criminal process. It's another kind of administrative process. And it was designed from the early days, as Mike was saying, of the Constitution to protect the United States from just what we're seeing now. But if he's impeached, then there has to be, for him to go to jail, there has to be a criminal process where he's found guilty in a trial, which I think, you know, the problem with the Senate is that you've got the Republicans defending him and the Democrats prosecuting him and so forth and so on. It looks very partisan. There's no judge there who's supposedly objective. But if he goes to trial, after the impeachment, if he's impeached and goes to trial, and Mike, he can go to trial even if he's not impeached for his crimes once he's out of office. I don't think there's any debate about that. Then he's before a judge and before jurors who selected, hopefully, for objectivity. What bothers me is that many people are partisan, but the people that Trump has surrounded himself with, Mike, like Pompeo, are the most partisan people in the United States. They're people who cannot see the other guy's point of view, who don't care. Pompeo has this preposterous Benghazi stuff about Hillary Clinton. I'm not going to go there, but the point is that Barr, Pompeo, and these other people, Giuliani, are crazed partisans. They're not like normal partisans, like, you know, I'm a Democrat and you're a Republican. This is a level of partisanship which basically takes fairly intelligent guys and sort of destroys their perspective.
Well, no, you're talking about, and that's a good point. Partisanship is supporting your side. What the people that you're talking about, the Trump administration, the people in the Trump administration are fascist. In that any relinquishment of power, any agreement with the other side is giving up power. Any agreement with the other side is giving up power, something they refuse to do. Here's two questions I want you to ask. If you had to go now, you're the Republican Party. Your leader has confessed to impeachable crimes on the White House lawn. Okay, now they're spinning it another way, but he has confessed to impeachable crimes on the White House lawn. You have to go to him and say, you know what, you need to resign. What are you going to say to Donald Trump to get him to resign? That's number one. And throughout this entire process, my question, Gary, is why are the damn Democrats so impotent? Why, after 3 years into this, where this guy has been committed, as far as I'm concerned, impeachable crimes nearly daily. The only time he's not committing impeachable crimes is when he's on the golf course.
The reason this happens, Mike, is because Trump is willing to destroy the balance of power in a way that nobody's been willing to before. He's willing to blanketly tell people not to appear before Congress when he knows that they have to appear before Congress.
You mean he has
and
no
he's
respect
trusting
for-
he's trusting the legislative process to drag out to the end of his term.
You mean he has no respect for the Constitution?
No, he's not that. He's not lack of respect. It is lack of respect, but he's undercutting the Constitution by a blanket order not to testify to Congress about what's going on. So he's effectively stonewalled the Democrats.
So that's your answer to why the Democrats are so impotent, to be clear.
It's something we talked about before, Mike, is there's the Constitution and the legal structure of the United States. Wait, let me finish. And that's one thing. That's there. There's also an understanding that you play fair that among individuals and that you follow the law and that you don't push things to an extreme that destroys the structure of the government. There's always been that. So in the Nixon impeachment, there was a lot of resistance until Nixon tape came out and we were
so the Democrats
red-handed.
Look weak and stupid because
he has given a blanket. He has given a blanket order. He's basically
because the administration won't cooperate with their investigation.
All right. So what does the Congress can do in that case? Well, there are some debates of things they can do. Withhold money. See, but the problem is, look, you're in Congress.
Yeah.
And he's not allowing Pompeo to testify. He's stonewalling.
Yeah. Got
what
it.
Do you do? You cut if the House of Representatives, you cut the money to the State Department. You cut the money to our American military. He's got patriots over on patriots, people who want to protect the country. He's got them because their answer to his sort of criminal activities is something that will damage the country, and they're unwilling to do it. They're unwilling to defund the State Department in order to punish Pompeo for lying his teeth out and prosecuting Trump's personal interests. Gary? Go ahead.
My response to those who are afraid to impeach for political reasons, including both Democrats and Republicans, is a quote from a person, a famous ad man that I've kind of idolized over many years, and who once said, "A principle isn't a principle unless you're willing to risk something for it." And I think the country, the good of the country, is worth the risk of political issues. You know, losing your seat.
Look at Jeff Flake.
You have to put the country ahead of your own political future.
Look at Jeff Flake. Yes, I don't agree, and Mike and I don't agree with Jeff Flake's very far right-wing policies. But he went against Trump, and he basically couldn't run for re-election. I want to read Jennifer Rubin's list of the arguments, Mike, by the people defending Trump. Jennifer Rubin used to write, she used to call it Right Turn, and it was about, she's one of the conservative columnists. So, all right, arguments that Trump is not guilty. He was kidding. He was just joking around, Mike. When he was saying, you know, if you want those missiles, you better do what we want you to do. The whistleblower is no good. The guy is no good. Now, of course, there's two whistleblowers, and they think maybe even more. They're all no good. It's not worth impeaching him, especially in this close to an election. Why should we impeach him over this process, Mike? Why? I mean, like, you know, and the election's coming right along. Then one of the things I mentioned, Hunter Biden, as if that's any kind of relevant. Whatever Hunter Biden didn't do is not really relevant to any of this.
What about Ted Kennedy?
Okay. Deep state.
What about JFK? Slept with Marilyn Monroe.
All right. Now, deep state is going into conspiracy theories to explain Trump's behavior, and the honest people are prosecuting him and investigating him. It's all deep state, Mike.
So deep state means there's a whole shadow government that Democrats have somehow fostered, right?
So if you're in the State Department and you see these cables where Trump is basically extorting the Ukraine to do his political bidding and fight whoever he's decided. We don't even know if Biden's going to be the Democratic nominee to injure somebody who he thinks wants. See, and the way it works, folks, is this. He causes a big stink about Biden. by the time it's cleared up and Biden's not guilty of anything and his son's not guilty of anything, the election will be over.
There
That's how
go.
This works, Mike.
That's how it works. That's right.
All right. So all right. Deep state stuff is conspiracies. And
that's right.
I'm frankly, Mike, it worries me. These things have gotten more and more crazy and more out of control.
Well, and then people like us and CNN and NPR pick it up and legitimize it. They normalize it. So that's why I don't want you to say you're forbidden from saying anything else about Biden except what he had for breakfast or that he's a woman.
Yeah, no, it's going to come up, Mike, and I think you have to answer it by pointing out that it's really not relevant. And for somebody like Trump to be doing this, is the point is really quite simple. Trump has gotten caught red-handed, just like the Nixon tapes caught Nixon red-handed. And the question is, when somebody's caught red-handed, violating the Constitution, who's the president of the United States, you're honor bound to impeach him if you're a decent person. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't matter whether it's a good political strategy. It'll help Democrats get elected or it'll hurt them. Because you're dealing with an extremely dangerous demagogue who's capable of almost anything, as
that's
we can
what I
see.
Want. It's not honor bound; it's duty bound. In other words, the seven Democrats who have NSA experience, national security experience, the reason they signed on to impeachment because they took oaths of office, and what Trump did, and they took the oath of office many, many times, as many of us have, by the way. They took the same oath I took. To defend the from all enemies, foreign and domestic. You take that as a congressman. You take it as a military member. So, and they saw very clearly that Trump had defied his oath
enemy,
of office.
The enemy is the guy who's violating the Constitution, Mike, is the president of the United States.
Yes,
so what do you do?
That's my question. I want to know if you're the guy, if you're the part of the team that has to go to Trump's office today and says, Donald, you have to resign for the good of the country. Donald, you have to resign for the good of the Republican Party. They got you. You confessed. These are impeachable offenses. You can't fight it. You can't. This isn't going away. We're going to finish this in the next 2 weeks. We're going to haul your kids off.
Do you think the Republicans will do this? Enough of them? I mean, they have to. You're right. For this to resolve peacefully and for Donald Trump to resign, they have to go to him and say, look, it's over. You've got to go.
That's right.
And then we'll end up with Pence, who he's also implicated in this. Pompeo will still be there, who's he's implicated in this.
You're getting way ahead of yourself.
But at least, no, wait. But and we so it won't resolve everything, is what I'm saying, but it will resolve that. And that's the way to end this without a horrible fight, is if the Republicans will go to him and say, you have to go now.
Who does the fight help? It helps the Russians. It helps the Chinese. It helps everybody except the American people. It helps our enemies, is what I should say. Not except the American people and our way of life and our government, the smooth functioning of what's needed here. All's we're going to be talking about. There will be nothing else that will penetrate the American consciousness and certainly the American news cycle accept impeachment for the next 13 months.
The question I see, Mike, is will this impeachment process benefit and strengthen the United States and its government and its people, or will it damage them in some deep way? I believe Trump is capable of anything in order to try to escape being obviously caught out.
We're going to talk about this again on October 28th with a lawyer. We'll have Jim Ledbetter here. We're going to talk about the legal aspects of the impeachment process, which should put everybody to sleep really, really quickly. We want to thank Democrats of the Red Rocks for supporting Democratic Perspective. They had a wonderful fundraiser this weekend. We want to remind you about our all our shows, our archive of shows, where you can sort out the brilliant thinking that we go through here. Please go to Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org, Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org, BBID.org will get you to our archive of shows. There is some really interesting stuff there. We've talked to some wonderful people over the years. And our next few shows are going to be just as interesting. October is a great month. The weather's great. And the information is going to be equally great. It's an exciting time to be alive. You're going to be able, you're going to talk about this. I think, as Rachel Maddow says, you're going to talk about these days and what you did and didn't do to your children and grandchildren for the rest of your lives. So do the right thing, folks. Tune into Democratic Perspective and send us a check. Thank you.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.